In the words of St. Francis of Assisi to Brother Dominic on the road to Umbria, good morning. It's such an honor to be here with you today and to be in this incredibly generous, courageous, loving church, and to be with Mary and Brian, your dream team, who are so devoted, and your choir director, whose love for people is so evident, which makes all the music possible. And if I may say a word about your rector, since he's not here, can I speak freely? He's simply one of the finest people I've ever met in my life. And he's been a rock for me through many seasons of life and ministry. The way that we met was really quite fun. We were at a church meeting. I know that sounds exciting. And I saw this cool guy. And I went over to him and I introduced myself. And I said, Jimmy, what do you like to do for fun? He said, I love to fly fish. I said, well, I love to fly fish. He said, yep, I'm going fishing on my birthday. I said, when's your birthday? He said, June. I said, well, my birthday's in June. What day is your birthday? He said, the 12th. I said, mine's the 12th. I said, what year? He said, 1970. I said, mine's 1970. You got to be kidding me. I said, what hour? And it turns out that he's 3 hours older than I am, which explains why he's so much better looking and wise, and wise and generous he is. I thank God for him. So I want to talk to you this morning about fear, about living with fear, about facing fear, about having a conversation with fear and meeting fear with faith and courage. We hear in our text this morning these words, see how they tremble with fear. We hear in the gospel about how they were terrified. And yet we also hear in our epistle about how Christ might become and dwell in our hearts and give us that peace that surpasses knowledge. So fear is a part of life. And if the truth be told, it's good to have a healthy degree of fear. Be careful when you cross the street. Look both ways. Don't go down a double black on your first outing. Take bear spray with you. Makes sense. The challenge is when fear becomes overblown in our hearts and minds, and it takes roots in our souls, and our fear becomes unhealthy fear, and we move to a kind of catastrophic way of thinking, where our minds begin to cycle around the worst-case scenarios. And before we know it, we move from a kind of reality to a sort of alternative reality. And that needs to be checked in order for us to experience the healing that we need in our hearts. We've all been through this in our lives. Perhaps some of us have experienced this in our childhood. Perhaps there are things that have happened in our lives, in our families, that we still carry with us. Certainly during the pandemic, there are so many different catastrophic things that we've seen and have experienced. And yet we must persevere. And the way that we persevere is through faith and courage. I think of the story of Frederick Buechner, of when he was going through a particularly difficult time in his life and his family's life. He had a daughter who was living with an eating disorder. And he was experiencing that kind of pain that we've all experienced in different ways. It's that sort of powerlessness. Do you know what I'm talking about? The kind of powerlessness that just sort of sits there, where we begin to think more and more about what we can do, and we discover there really isn't anything that we can do. All we can do is simply be present. And it was really, really paralyzing him. And so he decided that he would go out to try to clear his mind, and he went for a long drive. Got into the car, and as he was driving, he sort of, dozed off into a kind of daydreaming and really wasn't attentive to what was happening around him. And what had happened is he had slowed down, taking his foot off the gas, and a car came behind him and beeped the horn, beep, beep, shook him. The car went around the passing lane and got right in front of him. And he looked down, and right on the license plate was the word trust, T-R-U-S-T. It hit him right in his soul. And he realized that that was the exact word that he needed, that quality of faith that he needed. Turned out it was a trust officer from a bank. But later on, he told that story, and he managed to get that license plate, and he hung it in his home as the most holy relic of all the places he's traveled, that he's ever seen and collected, that is a living reminder of often what goes out the door when fear takes hold of our hearts. And so we see in the gospel text that what Jesus is inviting these anxious, terrified people who are fearful if there's going to be enough love, enough strength, enough courage, enough to get us through the day, enough to get us through the year, that enoughness that we long for, that we wonder and we fear won't be there. He's inviting us into a kind of deeper relationship with him. He's saying, trust me with your life. Don't worship fear, which is what happens when we begin to catastrophize. Fear becomes our God. He says, worship me. Let me enter into your heart and into your life. And what I want to do is I want to take you deeper into the spiritual life, deeper than you've ever been before, where you'll meet me and I will bring you healing. I think of the story about the ship that set sail and had filled their boat with rations, and they thought they had just enough. And as they were traveling, the wind died, and they became fearful, and they consumed the rations, and they consumed all of the water. And as time went by, they really sank into despair. And then there was a little bit of a tailwind, and the wind came and moved them along, but they were still quite in bad shape. And as they were heading into this sort of bay-like area, another ship, all fresh, seemed to be coming out and sailing by them. And so they waved their hands, and they said, send over some fresh water. And someone on the other boat called over and said, send down your buckets and you'll find fresh water. And so they took a bucket and they wrapped a line around it and they threw it overboard and they pulled it back up and they drank the water and it was salt water. And they thought that it was a horrible joke. And so they hollered over and they said, send over some fresh water or we're going to come over and take your boat and take everything you have. That kind of anxiety, that kind of fear, that kind of anger that comes when we feel that we've come to the end of our ropes. But again, they called over and said, send over your buckets. But this time, send them down deeper. Deeper than you ever have gone before. So they sent the bucket over, and they sent it down deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, and they pulled the bucket up fast, 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 and they drank the water. And it turns out that it was fresh water. Because what they didn't realize was that in all of their anxiety and catastrophizing and worst case scenario alternative reality thinking, they were at the convergence of two freshwater rivers. And though the water was a bit brackish, they were able to drink it. Go deeper. Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I am the bread of life. I am the cup of salvation. Come to me. Come and be with me and dwell with me. I remember one time I was talking with Jimmy about fear. And I said, well, you know, Jimmy, what do you do with fear? He says, you know, I think you have to have a dialogue with it. Dialogue with it. So, yeah, you know, you don't get rid of fear by trying to get rid of fear. You have to have a conversation with it. I thought about that. Okay, fear, here you are again. I feel you right here. I'm having a conversation with you. What needs to be healed? Maybe that's the conversation. And so there's a kind of befriending of that worry that you have. It's a way that you and I can have some self-compassion toward ourselves rather than saying, oh gosh, I'm just fearful. We begin with self-compassion. I remember what I said to Jimmy once. I said, well, you know, this thing that I'm dealing with a member of my family, what if it comes true? And you know what he said to me? What if it doesn't? Sort of a dialogue, right? Which makes me think about that quote by, I think it's Oscar Wilde, who said, I've lived through many, many terrible things in my life, and a few of them actually happened. And so we go deeper, and as we go deeper, we discover grace. And what is grace? It's the unexpected love of God. The unexpected love of God. Grace, says Paul Tillich, strikes us when we're in great pain and restlessness. It strikes us when we walk through the dark valley of meaninglessness. Sometimes, he writes, a moment a wave of life breaks into our darkness, and it's as though a voice were saying, you are accepted. You are accepted. Do not seek anything or perform anything. You are accepted and loved as you are. All throughout the pandemic, there has been an anthem that I have been listening to that really, it reads almost as a kind of love letter from God. And it's a Philip Stopford, Do Not Be Afraid. It goes, do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, and you are mine. When you walk through the waters, I'll be with you. You'll never sink beneath the waves. When the fire is burning all around you, you will never be consumed by the flames. When the fear of loneliness is looming, then remember I am at your side. When you dwell in the exile of a stranger, remember you are precious in my eyes. You are my child. I am your father. And I love you with a perfect love. You are mine, O my child. I am your father. And I love you with a perfect love. So I don't know what you're living with these days, what's in your heart. The word that comes to us this day through our lessons is perhaps the most important thing I know about our faith, and it goes like this. God is for you, and God is near you, and God will always walk beside you. Let that love into your heart. Receive it as grace. And in ways that you cannot see or even imagine, God will provide for you and give you the faith and the strength and the courage that you need. Amen.